I want to begin today by reading a very familiar passage of Scripture that comes out of the writings of Paul. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This passage of Scripture is very important to all of us because we face moments of struggle and weakness. Some people live a lifetime with a particular struggle and weakness. Sometimes we're very embarrassed by what that struggle might be. We try to hide it. Other people can't hide it. It's a powerful teaching that what Satan uses to harass us can actually take us to our knees, and we can experience grace, the presence of the Lord, his power, and his strength. It made me think back a long time ago to a man I met when I was a mere child. I was about 8 years old when I began to play Little League Baseball in our little village of Finleyville, Pennsylvania. Now, I have to tell you that over all these decades, there are very few memories that I have of playing for Carlson Ford. That was the name of our sponsored baseball team. Every team in our little village was sponsored by one of the area businesses. There was Finleyville Pharmacy and Vickers Garage, and I played for Carlson Ford. You know, the one thing I can remember very clearly from those days is a person. He was the assistant coach of our little baseball team. His name was Bill Saunders. Bill Saunders, or as we all called him, Mr. Bill, was an African-American gentleman who happened to live on the same side of the tracks as my great aunt, as where my grandmother grew up. For some people, they saw it as the wrong side of the tracks, but I met many, many wonderful people that became my friends and certainly my family there. And one of the people that lived there was Bill Saunders. Now, Bill was a great man, and he was very devoted to we boys. He would show up to practice rain or shine, and he was enthusiastic, and he would assist and do anything the head coach wanted him to do. By the way, I couldn't name the head coach if I had to. I don't even think I can bring an image of him to my mind, but with Mr. Bill, it's a completely different matter. He was just tireless in the way he worked to help us grasp the fundamentals of the game. He would get up close, and no matter how unskilled we were, and I need to tell you, I was very, very unskilled, he never used shame to motivate. He just was a tender-hearted man, and he always spoke with respect and dignity. I still have a body memory of him, his hand squeezing my shoulder. I think it was after I returned to the dugout for maybe the 15th time in a row because I struck out. And he always gave me a smile and said, "You'll get him next time. You'll get him next time." I have to admit, playing Little League Baseball was a bit intimidating to me at first because in our town, everyone played on the same Little League teams, whether they were 8 years old and or 12 years old. So you can imagine a 12-year-old and how much bigger they might be standing on the pitching mound throwing a baseball at an 8-year-old. And it was intimidating. And I probably walked more than any other player, not because I was small, but because I would just back out of there as often as I could. And if I didn't have to swing, I certainly wasn't going to. But I struck out a whole lot, and Mr. Bill was always very, very encouraging to me. You see, our two baseball fields, and there were two, were on the same side of the tracks, just across the street. And we played there a lot during the year, but then in baseball season, it became the place where we were all gathered for games, and they had a little hot dog stand where you can get a soda. And I remember, I have to say that when they handed out uniforms, and I actually got my own uniform and my own hat, it had Carlson Ford written across the front. I just felt like I owned the world, even though I wasn't much of a player at all. In our town, Little League began with tryouts. And if you weren't picked for a team, they did have something called the minor leagues, minor league teams. And again, because we had a small town, if you got chosen for the minor leagues, that was absolutely pure humiliation. And the minor league teams would play before the regular Little League teams. And so I was often there to hang out and get a hot dog and run around in the woods, collect baseballs while the minor league teams were playing. And I happen to remember on one very hot Saturday afternoon that when the minor league teams were there, Mr. Bill showed up to be an encouragement to one player who on our team had been cut. His name was Eddie. And Eddie was devastated that he did not make the main team. He cried in front of everyone, though I know he didn't want to. I'm sure it embarrassed him. And on that day, when he didn't get his uniform and was taken to the minor leagues, old Mr. Bill, he came to him and he pulled him aside and he talked to him, he comforted him, he put his arm around his shoulder. I don't know what he whispered in Eddie's ear, but I'm sure it was something very tender and encouraging. And many times after that, I would see Mr. Bill come early to our game so he could hang out at Eddie's game and encourage him on. I really liked Mr. Bill, and it meant something to me that he knew my name. I don't know, I just felt better about me when I was around Mr. Bill. Now, I need to tell you something, that the first time I saw Bill Saunders walk onto the baseball field, I really wondered, even as a kid, what in the world he was doing there. I thought, well, maybe this guy cuts the grass or, I don't know, cleans up afterwards. And it wasn't just that he was a small man or that he was an older guy. It was the fact that Mr. Bill walked with a very extreme limp. When he walked, he dipped one shoulder so severely that I always thought that he was going to topple over, but he sure didn't look like an athlete. Later, I learned that he was born with one leg significantly shorter than the other. And I have to say, as sad as it is, that as a kid, it was the first thing that I saw, but only for a little while. Because after a while, it didn't matter about the limp. All I saw was Mr. Bill. And while someone might identify him walking down our little street by his limp, he was never defined by his limp, not Mr. Bill. No matter what, he made a commitment to the boys of summer baseball. And I think the fact that he struggled with that limp made his commitment all the more amazing. He wasn't, I guess, the picture of athletic prowess, but I'll tell you what, he knew the game. He knew how to get into the hearts of the players. He had a way of reaching way down inside and bringing the best out of all of us. And I just can't forget him. I never got the impression that Mr. Bill wanted to hide himself or his handicap. I don't think I don't know for sure that he was noticed that way. But he sure embraced that limp and jumped right out there on the baseball field to do what he loved, to make a difference in people's lives. And to this day, there are people in our town that remember him. Old men like me, who a half a century later and more, remember the impact he had. He was a kind man, respectful, very tender. Always gave a gentle touch on the shoulder and called your name, which made a tremendous difference. And I'm forever grateful to him that he decided he wasn't going to sit on the sidelines, but he was jumping right into life. He was part of the game in full view of everyone else to see. I don't know. I've often thought about this in many occasions, that those of us that struggle with something that doesn't easily go away, that somehow it makes us a little better at a dance that Jesus wants us to dance. And I know he did really well with it. It wasn't until years later that I then learned the role that Jesus played in Mr. Bill's life. Now, you may recognize his last name because recently I talked about Grandma Saunders. Well, Bill Saunders was, that was Grandma's husband. But I had never known them together. He died maybe 3 or 4 years after I met him in Little League Baseball, about 2 years before I really knew Grandma Saunders. But she was his tender wife, and he her beloved husband, who helped raise their family. And he was a great man. And somehow when I think of him, not only is my heart tender and do I remember this one very important character out of my past who happened to have a very severe limp, it drives me back to this passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 12. Something that a person would pray over and over again for God to take away. And then the Lord doesn't take it away, but he says, "Let my grace be sufficient for you in this moment." I think God's grace dripped off of Mr. Bill. I think he allowed God to use what others might have wanted him to hide as a way to draw attention to the strength of Jesus Christ, and that in Christ we can do all things through him. And that, as Paul said, what might drive us to our knees becomes one of the places that we really begin to boast in Jesus. Now, some of you may be limping for a period of time right now, and it's tough. I pray that you could find God's grace and strength in the midst of it. Some of you might have an emotional limp, a relational limp. Some of you might have a physical issue that you struggle with. Well, there's a great promise that there will be a day when we come to heaven and we will all be free. But until that day, may we be able to turn to Jesus and ask him for grace and strength in the midst of the struggle. There are things about me I wish were not true. But may I turn to Jesus and find him in that. Be forever changed as a result. And as Paul said, which I think is kind of hard to wrap my head around, but I guess in a way I get it, he said, "I have learned to boast in my weakness." And that's, in other words, to say there's been good things that have happened to me because of it. And then he goes on and he even says that he is going to boast in insults and persecutions and difficulties. And then he gives this final word, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Gosh, it's been 60 years ago since I met Mr. Bill, but I'm grateful for him. I look forward to seeing him again in that day. Remember that God's face shines upon you. God bless you today.